This morning, I'm going to speak a little bit on the last week of Jesus' life. And as you look on that week, you see some fleshly ways about man, and then you see his deity coming through. In Luke chapter 19, it says, "And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethpage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over there against you, in which you are entering. You shall find a colt tied therein, yet never man set. Loose him, and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, Why do you loose them? Thus say unto them, Because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent were in their way, and found even as he said unto them. And as they were loosing the coat, the owner thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the coat? And the Lord said, and they said, The Lord hath need of him. Now, that may work back then. God knew what he was doing. But don't go to some car dealers and start to drive off with a car and say, The Lord has need of it. That won't work real well. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the coat. And there sat Jesus therein. And as he went, they spread their coats in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And when he was come near, he beheld the city, and he wept over it. Father, I pray, Lord God, you'll bless your word today, not because I'm speaking it, but because it's your word. You let it touch each and every person that's listening today and hears this message. You touch their heart and soul and uplift them by the mighty power of your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. The triumphal entry of Christ took place on a Sunday. He was going to be dead by Friday, and he knew it. John records that after the triumphal entry, the Greeks came and said, We would see Jesus. And Jesus' response was, The hour of the Son of Man has come, that he'll be glorified. He knew what was happening. He knew what was going to take place. And I wonder, what if you knew when you were going to die? What if you knew if you just had a few days left? Would you look to earthly things and try and get your house in order? Or would you do all the godly things you could, knowing you were fixing to go see the Lord? Well, you see his deity that last week, you also see his humanity. Some of the emotions comes out that week. Emotion when he wept over Jerusalem. He was concerned about the people. How long has it been since you wept over the lost? How about the loss of the city equipment? How about some of your family? We need to be praying for the lost. In Sam's class, I'd had everybody write down a couple of names and start praying for them, praying for lost people. And then I write down a third thing and put other, and then you pray for all the lost ones the other people are praying for. I believe God's going to give a harvest. Or maybe how long has it been since you wept over America and the paths that America's gone down? The path of pornography, the path of drugs and alcohol, the path of homosexuality, the kidnapping and killing of children. But most of all, God, the anti-God position America is taking right now. Your Ten Commandments are off the walls, no prayer in the schools, and they won't take God out of the Pledge of Allegiance. America will fall, but not from corrupt politicians. They will fall not just because the rich can buy their own justice, but it'll fall for what they're doing against God, the anti-God movements that's taking place in America today. That's the reason Jerusalem fell, because they rejected Jesus. They could have continued on a long, long time. Jesus did not want it to happen. The punishment he knew was coming to him, and he believed that's why he wept over him. Monday, you once again see the human side of Jesus. The Bible says he came by a fig tree and he was hungry. And there was no fruit on the tree. And he cursed that tree. And the next day, the disciples walked by that tree and they were amazed that the tree is dead. It's dried up from the roots. It's not there anymore, so to speak, except what's left of the deadness of it. And they mentioned it to the Lord. Now, understand, the Lord yesterday was hungry, and then he didn't find anything. He cursed the tree, and it died. But this is someone who went 40 days fasting. I mean, nothing, you know, should have made him that hungry to curse it. But he was teaching the disciples. He says, you have faith in God. Nothing's impossible. And we need to know that. We need to understand that. Whatever God wants to do, he can do, and he can do it in our lives. Jesus went on to clear the temple a second time. I can imagine some of the rage that was in him. He had had to clean it out before, and they had come back, and they're doing the same thing. How do you think God feels about people who he dealt with them, they gave up sin, and then they go back to it? But then Jesus turned around and showed his great deity. Matthew 21:13 said Jesus cleansed the temple. But verse 14 says Jesus healed the multitudes. He was showing his fleshly side, earthly side, and he was showing his deity all right here at this time. In the flesh he prayed, let this cup pass from me. In the spirit he prayed, not my will, but thy will be done. He knew he was going to die. It wasn't he was afraid to die, but the cross was a terrible way to die. And he was going to have to go through a lot. Tuesday of that week, Jesus did a lot of public teaching. I mean, he got in there with the Sadducees and Pharisees, and he taught them, and he answered their questions. When the Sadducees asked him about the woman that was married to seven guys, whose would she be in heaven? He explained the resurrection. And he explained there's neither marriage nor giving in marriage in heaven. My wife always had a problem with that. She couldn't understand us not being together like that. But that's what Jesus taught. He taught them what the greatest commandment was. And the second one was to love your neighbor as yourself. They want to know about giving tithes to the Romans or paying tribute to the Romans. He says, give me a coin. And he says, whose inscription's on it? Caesar's. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and render unto God what is God's. He pronounced woes to the Pharisees. He preached the destruction of the temple. And he talked about his coming back. He talked about the parable of the 10 virgins. He spoke a lot in parables. And then he talked about that he would be coming back. He talked about the talents. And if you've got a talent, if God's given you a talent, you really need to be using it for God. But on Tuesday, the Jews began to really plot against him. They had made up their mind they had to get rid of him. And Judas got with him and said, I'll help you. But all that happened in this short time, and it's happening in God's timing. He could not let them take him on Wednesday and crucify him. I mean, they were stirred up already, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And if he'd have gone in Wednesday, they might have tried to take him. And that could not happen. It was not God's plan. There's no record Jesus did anything on Wednesday. He probably just simply stayed in Bethany and stayed away so they wouldn't try and take him on Wednesday. But I can imagine the time he spent there Wednesday with his disciples, he taught them and explained to them things that he, you know, probably had to repeat himself some. They didn't always get it the first time. Or maybe he spent a little bit more time in prayer before Thursday night. Whatever kept Jesus quiet on Wednesday, he was back on Thursday afternoon. He came to Jerusalem to eat the Passover with his disciples. It was sundown Friday and his last day. But this week of several great emotions started on Sunday. The day Jesus rode into Jerusalem, exactly 483 years to the date that Gabriel told Daniel it would happen. And it came in on a coat that no man had sat on. Now, I don't know a lot about donkeys. I've seen a couple of donkey basketball games, and them donkeys never seemed to want to cooperate. You know, they didn't like being ridden, and they didn't like to be pulled around. But this one, this was a miracle. This was one that never been rode. Now, most donkeys you get on that's never been rode, they're going to try and throw you off. But this one was fulfilling Scripture. And it was a gun God had in mind, and he brought Jesus into Jerusalem. And nothing went wrong. Everything was fine. And Jesus came riding into Jerusalem on the donkey, fulfilling Scripture. And his disciples, probably, and a lot of people he'd healed, started welcoming him into Jerusalem. They were accepting him. They proclaimed Jesus as King. They were praising God. They were excited, really excited. You know, everybody likes a parade, you know. And these people were excited about the parade for Jesus. And they brought him in. And the crowd began to swell. Those who were not actually in the parade watched and praised God. But the Pharisees were really upset. This was not their parade. They hadn't got it together, organized it. And they told Jesus, make it stop. You know, tell your disciples to quit shouting the things they shout. They were worried about what was going to happen, maybe with the Romans or something. But Jesus said a strange thing, but a strange statement. He said, if these should hold their peace, then even the rocks would cry out. He made that statement. And, you know, if I'd have made a statement like that, I'd be put in peril. But Jesus knew what he was talking about and knew what God could do. He was serious about it. And that day, God had mentioned would come. This was the day his entry into Jerusalem and they headed for the cross. This was the day when the Messiah would enter Jerusalem. Now, God was going to have his son praised this day, even if he had to use the rocks to do it. I can't explain how God would have done that, but I believe it. If you've got a hard time with this rocks crying out thing, you may want to go back and study the Old Testament where the donkey spoke. That's not common either. And how about the day the sundial went back? And how about the day Joshua said, the sun, stand still. And God gave him his request. Folks, nothing's too hard for God. They can do anything. God then bring his son into the world with fanfare. Most people were asleep when his son was born, except for a few shepherds. But his son didn't get praised then, but boy, he's going to get praised now. As he comes in, he expects people to praise him. Maybe, you know, it was all the people and all the excitement. I don't know about you, but I enjoy praising God. It's worthy of my praise, and it blesses me when I do it. Maybe it's because I do it in the song service. That's where I like the best time to be close to God and get in God's presence in a very real way. Not that I can sing, but I can enjoy being with people praising God. Maybe it's not because I'm not alone. Or maybe because God inhabits the praises of his people. And so when I'm in here and everybody's singing, I know God's here and I can feel him. I can feel him touching my heart and blessing me. But there's a danger in praise. Some people start to worship praise. I mean, that's what they like when they go to church is the praise. The rest of the church, they're not all that interested in. They come to church to join the praise and the worship. I had another preacher I knew one time, he's gone on to be with the Lord. He said, some people just like to jump, shout, and holler, make you want to give you bottom dollar. And some people are like that. Nothing wrong with that. But you can't just live on the praise. They come to church and enjoy the praise and worship, but they don't grow in the Lord. If all we've got is praise and worship, you're not growing in the Lord. The word needs to take root in a person's life and needs to grow. They all like the seed. They're like the seed that has no depth. They enjoy the church. Their walk with God is shallow. A problem rises, and they don't know what to do because they're not rooted and grounded in God and in His Word. God wants people to be rooted and grounded in the Word and in the church. Strong Christians who knew how to live for God. If all God wanted was praise, all He had to do was use the rocks. But He wants more than that from His people. He wants so many things. But I guess He wants us to be conformed to the image of Christ more than anything else. And if you read back in your Bible, you'll find out on the Sabbath, He went to church. They called it a synagogue, but He was there to worship the Father. Too often people are like the triumphal entry crowd. They wanted Jesus as King on Sunday and wanted to crucify Him on Friday. Could it be them of the same ones that brought Him in singing Hosanna on Sunday was saying crucify on Friday? That could be. People respond sometimes to how things affect them. The group in charge Sunday, you know, they were excited to bring Jesus in. The religious leaders were in charge Friday, and they did not want to fight against the religious leaders and go against what the religious leaders said. I mean, they had the power to cast them out of the synagogue. They could not bring offerings in anymore to the temple. They could not get their sins forgiven. They didn't want to take that chance with the Pharisees. Then there's that other thing about standing up for Jesus on Friday. No one else was doing it. One of His disciples even denied Him, that he even knew Him. And most of them took off in hiding. The only one left at the cross was John. Peer pressure has led to the downfall of many young people, especially young people. How many people you know that did not start smoking and drinking until after they reached 30 or 40 years old? No, they do it when they're young, when the pressure, the peer pressure, is so much against them. Young people have a hard time sometimes making it through the early years of life. For some, that day was not what they watched Jesus dead, wanted Him dead. They just did not want to go against the crowd on Friday. Most of the followers fled, even, as I said, denied Him. They started out, Jesus was their one. He was going to follow. They were going to stay with Him. But all of a sudden, the cross got in the way. A lot of people, they can't get past the cross. They don't serve God because they don't understand to take up their cross and follow Him. The same thing happens to people today. People plan to follow Jesus. They really do. But then comes church on Sunday. They're having a good time, enjoying it, blessing. But then comes Friday, and they got nothing. They have not read the Word. They have not prayed. So they come back Sunday morning and try and get a little juice for their tank, so to speak. I want to tell you something, folks. Church is better when you come with your tank full. When it's already full, you know, you can put out more. You can do more. You want to be God inside of you. God, be excited about God and the things of God when we get together in His house. So just plan coming on a full tank. And every day of the week, try and fill your tank up. It's like when people get saved. Some get saved, they're excited about God. They fall in love with Jesus. They get a Bible and devour it, start reading the Word they want to know, and get closer to Jesus. They're in church every time the doors are open. And then some of the old folks say, give it a little time, it'll cool down. Unfortunately, that's true. It does that sometimes. And part of the reason are you and I. You know, I prayed a prayer for a long time. So God showed me that I was praying it wrong. I noticed it in His Word. I kind of skipped over it. But I used to pray, Lord, restore the joy of my salvation. But the word says, restore the joy of his salvation. And we forget that sometimes. It's his salvation. He paid the price. He died at Calvary for us to have that salvation. And we need to take knowledge of it each and every day and let it be part of our life. The new people start to see that in church sometimes, that the triumphal bunch aren't there. They slip into the Friday crowd. Yeah. We have to be careful that doesn't happen. We do not want to stand out and go against the crowd. We don't want to go, you know, we get around other people seeing we're not so much Christian anymore. We just, you know, kind of go with them until that's over with, and then I'll go back to being a Christian. If they take God's vain word, name in vain, I'm not going to say anything about it. You know, it's one of those days. I'm just not going to do it. Isn't it strange? We believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and God does great miracles. And yet, we haven't packed a church out yet. We have a good church, a great church. But we need to grow some, folks. There's room for growth. Especially when this is over, there's room for growth. You know, if I asked today, I know everyone would say that they're saved and you love God. But let me ask you about yesterday, at the day four. How were things? Did you caught up in the ears of daily life and you just never got around to making him king that day? Don't wait till Sunday to bring him into your heart as king and Lord. Do it every day. It depends on what you do. Your relationship with God depends on what you do. He wants a relationship with you, but you've got to put forth the effort. Start your day off with Jesus. Find a way. Me, I like to turn the computer on and go to YouTube and go to the Christian music and just start those songs for you. It just blesses my heart and soul. And you find your way to start your day with Jesus. And at the end of the day, take a little time to read a little scripture. You may be able to sleep a little bit better. Then all day long, try to thank him for all he's done. Talk to him, even if it's just for a minute while you're driving down the road. And while you're driving down the road, don't you want the angels with you? Well, I want to tell you, the angels don't like some of the music you're listening to, so you need to get it on the Christian stations. But tell him you love him. Say a little prayer. Ask him to bless you and bless the church and bless the needs and bless those who are sick. There's lots to pray about, folks. There's lots of people sick. There's lots of people that don't know Jesus. We've always got something to pray about. But we want to take time to praise him, too. Whatever we're doing, we want to praise him. Now, I know God could make 100 big miracles and pack out this church. But I'm not expecting him to do that. I think God wants to use us to make this church grow. And along the way, you pray that he'll do one little miracle in your life, maybe to change you and make you a better person. I can't tell you why churches go up and down. I know God wants them up. I have to believe the fault lies with people. It's because of us. Do you want to come into a church and have a triumphal entry? Or do you want to come in like it's Friday and he's gone? He's never gone. He's always right with you if you want him. But I believe if you and I will make him Lord every day, he'll do even more than we've ever expected. Pray that every day in your life will be a Sunday day like the Sunday that he brought Jesus in to Jerusalem. If you need to, pray that he restored the joy of his salvation. You remember the joy when you first got saved? Don't you want that joy all the time? Pray that he'll restore the joy of his salvation. You must know today that nothing's impossible with God. It's true. He rules and reigns in heaven. He's in charge of everything up there. But you need to know, he wants to be in charge of your life today and each and every day.